When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's the top of the week in the most wonderful month leading up to the most wonderful time of the year, which means it's time for some strange news, some of which will be of a spooky variety. And if you, like us, are fans horror, then you will definitely want to listen to another show immediately after this podcast. Fellow conspiracy realist, it's official. 13 Days of Halloween Season 2 is out now, waiting to frighten the ever loving, I don't know, gobsmacks out of your ear holes.
Oh, that's my spooky howl. Mm-hmm. In support of this project, because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, it's out. It'll be coming to you one episode per day until Halloween from this point forward. So go check it out. Just look, we were coy about it the other day. It stars Kathy Najimy, that you may recognize from Sister Act and Hocus Pocus and King of the Hill and a bunch of other shows, as well as Bethany Ann Lind, who was in Ozarks and Doom Patrol and a bunch of other awesome things. So you will enjoy it. And Ben, again, wrote one of the episodes.
And it stars some of our other fellow friends of the show. You may recognize Jonathan Strickland, who is the creator of Tech Stuff, one of the world's best, if not the best, tech podcast. But he's not talking tech in this one, is he, Matt?
No, he's not. But I'm not telling you anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wait.
So stay hocus focused on that, folks. And you know this is good, not just because we are fans of it, folks, but because it has some sound design and direction from our one and only Matt Frederick, along with Alex Williams, the creator of the Ephemeral Show. So do check it out. Remember to wear headphones. And as Aaron always says at the top, listener discretion advised. Today,
I think we're going to start with something spooky, because one thing that everybody loves about Halloween is getting a little closer to the supernatural. For some people, the idea of devil worshiping and Satan is just a fun fictional trope. For other people, the idea of anything satanic causes them to, wait for it, that's right, panic. This is a satanic panic. Folks, it never ended. It just went out of the news for a while. But Nola, here, our lovely neighbors to the north might be going through some things in this regard.
Well, a little bit. I don't know that it's reached full-blown satanic panic magnitude, but it does show that there are still people that see the devil everywhere they look. 500 people, to be precise, in Canada's province of Ontario have signed a petition calling for the removal of the principal of Eden High School in St. Catharines. And this is, did she do some satanic ritual that she was caught, you know, red-handed at, you may ask? Were there blood sacrifices or rituals caught on camera, you may ask? Well, no. What was caught on camera was her love of the heavy metal band Iron Maiden. Mm. Iron Maiden, the heavy metal band that formed in, I believe, the northern part of London in the late 70s and has been kind of a mainstay in, I mean, honestly, they were like pre-hair metal. They really are the kind of the proto sound that became hair metal. But what people usually associate with Iron Maiden are their creepy album covers. If you listen to the band, it's really like they've got the songs like Run to the Hills. It's very like shrieky, goofy hair metal vocals with like really cool shreddy guitar. The singer Bruce Dickinson is also a commercial pilot. Really interesting dude. Very, very kind of a Renaissance man. But they've got this mascot named Eddie, who's kind of like this, you know, corpsey looking demonic figure. And in all their albums throughout the years, you see Eddie in these different kind of situations, mm-hmm. and scenarios. Head. Like there's one, exactly, Eddie the Head. There's one where he's like kind of a evil pharaoh presiding over like this, you know, horde of Egyptian kind of demonic creatures, all illustrated like beautifully, that kind of like movie poster style, very precise illustration. Super, super cool stuff. But the music never, to me, really jived with that. I always saw those album covers growing up, and I was like, this band seems really dangerous and spooky. And then when I got a little older and heard their music, it couldn't be farther from the truth. They're just kind of a fun rock and roll band that uses this kind of demonic imagery for pageantry purposes. And at the end of the day, they're just a good time putting on a great live show. But principal that we're talking about, a woman named Sharon Burns, is a massive Maidenhead. Wait, that means something different. Sorry. She's a fan. She's a big old Iron Maiden fan. And there's a picture that she posted on Instagram. It's like her hatchback car with her and her husband with an Ontario license plate reading IRNMADEN, full of Eddie paraphernalia, a little doll, kind of like a little suction cuppy type doll, and blankets. Like they're obviously on the way to a concert, throwing up the devil horns, doing kind of like a rock and roll open mouth pose. And this really, really bothered one parent in particular and 500 other, I'm going to call them busybodies because I think this is absurd, a group of parents in this community. The parent in question who started this petition is named Debbie Lynn, which is a pretty Karen-y name, if you ask me. Not to you know, cast aspersions on any kind of type of person or anything like that, but this is just very much like a let me call your manager type of situation to me. She's called for the immediate transfer of this principal. I'll read you a few little choice blurbs as reported by iHeartRadio, actually, the radio station 610 News Talk CKTB in Ontario, I believe. Bonnie Heslop reported on this initially, and then it's been kind of picked up and run with by news outlets around the country. So this is how it goes. As concerned parents with impressionable children at Eden High School in St. Catharines, Ontario, we are deeply disturbed that the principal assigned to the school blatantly showed satanic symbols and her allegiance to satanic practices on her public social media platforms, where all the students can see them. under at Eden Principal, not her personal account. Our school is based on inclusion and openly displaying satanic symbols on a public social media platform that directly goes against the principles of the vast majority of families who represent the school is not inclusive. As parents, we are demanding her transfer to another school. Please replace her with another principal who aligns with the values of the families at Eden and will not sabotage the teaching or upholding of those values and will not try to introduce impressionable students to satanic practices or symbolism. We'll provide more pictures if you have more questions. You can also see the blatant display of the 666 symbolism in a screenshot of her post in comments below. We can only put one picture on this campaign.
Okay, so clearly the concern is not actually about children, because if this person was somehow dangerous, sending them to another school would just give them a new pool of victims for their dark master. Also, 666 is widely misunderstood. It's actually, we don't have to get into the history of it. And I don't want to be rude to a stranger that we have never met. But I'm just going to name some things and let's see if we can guess the category. 1, COVID deaths. 2, climate refugees. 3, widespread starvation. 5, wealth inequality. And 5, apparently, the low standards for math at many public schools, of which I am a result. But those are just 5 things that I think should maybe be prioritized a little more over someone's shirt, right?
Yeah, I tend to agree. And, I think the main issue that was taken by this parent was not necessarily her fandom for Iron Maiden, was more that she was using her like school associated social media account. What that even means, I don't know, like Eden Principal. I guess that is sort of the same as like the POTUS, using the POTUS account, you know, to talk about personal things. Maybe that in and of itself could be argued is inappropriate, maybe, but it's her personality. I think that's kind of cool, you know, displaying one's personality, letting her freak flag fly and showing that she is someone who clearly is all about inclusion. She's not a stereotypical person that you would think of as a school principal. In fact, the interesting part about this is that there is a counter petition that was started by supporters of this principle that has over 1,500 signatures. And this is how that one goes. Recently, there's been a petition going around to remove the principal of Eden High School. It is ridiculous that a couple of parents only judge her role as a principal only based on an Instagram post about liking the band Iron Maiden. That's it. Eden High School is a public school, not a Christian school. If you somehow don't like the principal of your child, grandchild, relative, etc. school, then send them to another one. The principal has made so many efforts to remind students that Eden is a diverse place. She has even turned a whole room into a prayer room for students who are practicing religions other than Christianity, like Islam. She has made Eden a safe place for so many students. She spreads nothing but love and kindness, and is probably one of the best and most enthusiastic principals the school has ever had. If you would like to bring some light to this whole petition, please consider signing. Sounds like a pretty good egg to me. Especially with the whole, you know, again, if inclusion is their bag, it would appear she has made efforts to, you know, make that a priority in terms of allowing students to not feel othered or to feel isolated if they're practicing different religions and giving them safe space and all of that. 666 in this context, you know, I mean, I know there's lots of different interpretations of it, Ben, but you know, it's often called the number of the beast, and is certainly used in a lot of horror films and you know death metal music and things like that as a nod to Satan or to, you know, some kind of form of Satan worship. But even as we know, Satan worshiping in and of itself is often widely misunderstood. The idea of being a Satanist is not one who performs black masses and worships the Dark Lord. It's more of a protest religion where people tend to try to troll people like this woman.
Let me get in front of the email here too. It's the number of the beast is also the name of Iron Maiden's third album. So
100%. I'm sorry, I was getting to that. Nailed it.
They're
nailed
making
it.
Money so with it's, that.
And so in her use of that, she is just letting her Iron Maiden fandom flag fly. Mm-hmm. It is not, as this parent would suggest, some reference to Satan worship. And again, like if you actually listen to the music of Iron Maiden, it's all very tongue in cheek and very kind of goofy. I don't think anyone would hear that music and be scared for a second. It's almost comical how shrieky and, you know, hair metal-y the vocals of Bruce Dickinson are. And great guitar harmonies, which is a word a friend of mine made up for guitar harmonies. Very cool, classic, just like good old heavy metal music. But yeah, I don't think this is going to spread. It seems like it's been nipped in the bud, shut down quite significantly. I mean, it's a small town, and if 1,500 people are in support and only 500 are against, I would hope that the supporters will win out. But Matt, you grew up going to Christian school, or at least in a devout Christian household. I know you probably were in a place in your life where maybe you could have mistook this kind of thing or been around people that might have. Can you maybe speak to the kind of be the devil's advocate here, as it were?
I mean, kind of, but I also don't want to defend people who would try to tear down a principal because of the music she listens to and or her personal beliefs if she's an effective principal.
I agree. This is a cool principal.
Yeah, I know why that would make some people uncomfortable. Simply because they don't have all of the information, right?
Right?
They don't have all the context. They have got some symbols that are represented there that mean things that they do not like and they believe are bad because that's what they've been taught. And then that's what it gets boiled down to. I would just say go Flyers, and I hope y'all kick butt in whatever sport it is that you're doing. I think that's the name of their schools.
Yeah, I think it's
one of their teams.
I think it's synchronized rugby, which is the like synchronized swimming and rugby.
Sweet. Great.
Well, it's you like guys playing rugby that in formation, basically. Right?
Yeah. You already know who's going to win. It's more about the spectacle of it. But yeah, great team. I think they're up for the championships this year.
Nice.
Yeah, and Miss Burns did remove these photos, and she probably thought better of it in some way, that maybe using that account in this way was maybe not bad, but was going to get her in some hot water with certain folks, and she took it down. And then, of course, you know, the folks that are against her could use that even as like ammunition, be like, see, she knew it was wrong. She took it down. She is, you know, wicked in some way. But yeah, oh gosh, Iron Maiden, by the way, formed in 1975, not in North London, but in East London. And even like their albums, like Fear of the Dark, Dance of Death, and The Final Frontier. And you see Eddie in all kinds of configurations. It's like Leprechaun or something. It's like he goes to space, you know, he's hanging out in like Egypt. There's all kinds of amazing configurations that Eddie has been shown in. But yeah, that was really it. I think this mentality is largely seen for what it is now, which is kind of absurd, and like you said, Matt, not reading the room and not seeing the full context. But it is interesting to see that this is still something that people get bent out of shape about. So all the best to Miss Burns, and shame on you to the wine mom that put out this petition. No, I'm kidding. I whatever. Feel the way you feel, but it does appear that this woman is a lovely human being. So we'll take a break and be back with some more strange news.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text Snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
And we have returned. We're traveling south, folks, but not too far south. We're going to Maryland, where recently things went very poorly for an employee of the U.S. Navy as well as his spouse. You've heard about spycraft before, and apologies to all the conspiracy realists who have asked me questions that I cannot answer through social media, but I do love hearing from you.
Or on stage with Dan Harmon. Sorry about that.
So we've all heard we've all heard the tropes. You know, it's somebody in a fedora or a trilby, they're reading a paper, someone else, a stranger, sits next to them. That person, for the first person, gets up. Right. And they leave. They forget their paper, and inside their paper is a message or a payment, et cetera, et cetera. This sort of stuff does still happen. The old school, we could call it the analog spycraft, still happens because it works. There is an advantage to antiquity. There's an advantage to being offline. But this guy, despite his efforts, was not able to get away with being a spy. His name, Jonathan Toebi. Jonathan Toebi was doing pretty well. He was a Navy employee assigned to the Naval Nuclear Propulsion Program, where he worked as a nuclear engineer. This kind of stuff means you have to have a top-notch security clearance, top secret security clearance through the DOD, U.S. Department of Defense. And you also have to have a Q clearance from the Department of Energy, which, as we discussed before, not related to QAnon. Not really. It's just a different thing. So this gives
great podcast by Jake Hanrahan, though.
Mm-hmm. This gives him, Toebi, not Jake, this gives him access to all kinds of very serious, serious stuff. And he got busted in a semi-hilarious way. On April 1st, 2020, he sent a package filled with, quote, a sample of restricted data. I'm getting this from the criminal complaint the State Department filed against him. A sample of restricted data to an unidentified foreign government. sort of a, hey guys, let me show you what I can do. And there's more where that came from. This is just the touch, just the taste. And he also said, you know, if we can work something out financially, I will allow you, a named foreign government, to buy more information about nuclear subs for me. He also is alleged to have written this in the language that this government was using and apologizing for his poor translation, asking them to forward this to military intelligence, saying it's not a hoax. Several months later, he starts exchanging encrypted emails. He thinks the conversation with this foreign country is continuing and it's progressing. In June of this year, not too long ago, this representative that he was emailing sent him 10 grand in crypto, 10 grand in Monero cryptocurrency as kind of like a, okay, let's get started. Let's grease the wheels. You know, let's start firing up the engines. And then a couple weeks after that, Toebi went to a place in West Virginia, Jefferson County, with his wife, Diana. And they left a peanut butter sandwich, a half of a peanut butter sandwich at this dead drop. And if you open the sandwich, you would see there was an SD card wrapped in plastic to keep the PB out. And it was filled with thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of info about submarines and nuclear reactors, specifically the nuclear reactors that are positioned on submarines. How do they get there? How do they work? How can you make a sub not blow up by putting one of these bad boys in? So things were going okay. Desperate times. You know, they've got kids. Everybody's worried about college. So they maybe resorted to some unethical things, but they didn't do a lot of due diligence. It was their first time around the block. It turns out this unnamed foreign country representative that they thought they were talking to was indeed a representative of a country, but it wasn't foreign. He's a representative of the FBI. And so they got caught with a peanut butter sandwich. I know these people's lives are ruined, but a peanut butter sandwich, come on. Like, you don't want to hide stuff like that in food unless you're trying to poison somebody. People are wild. People will eat random sandwiches that they find in the field. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just not thinking ahead.
No, exactly. I was going to ask you what you thought their inspiration behind this was, or why they maybe thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good question. So typically people who turn to spycraft in this kind of way are motivated by usually one of three things. One, they need financial help. Two, whomever is running them has some leverage on them, some kind of like steel dossier, but probably not that in depth. Or three, it's an ideological thing. And number one and number three, those folks are going to tend to be proactive. They're going to go find an embassy or find a representative and say, hey, I've got this, I need some money, or hey, I've got this, I believe in, you know, insert ideology here. Number two, those folks can often be the most dependable because they have the leverage is something that directly affects them. You can pay off somebody who's financially motivated and you can turn them pretty easily. You can also probably get in the head of someone who's ideologically motivated. But if you have someone who has some skeletons in their closet, or like in our case, in my apartment, you can count on them because it's going to personally directly affect them. I think these folks were definitely financially motivated. They didn't get busted right when they pulled that sandwich move. In fact, the FBI gave them another 20 grand in crypto, and then they made another drop. This time it was in a Band-Aid wrapper, and they ended up dropping three in all. And they were working with the FBI the whole time unknowingly. They put one in a package of chewing gum, and the FBI just kept upping the amount of money they sent him. So he got 70 grand for that one. So all in all, he's going around 100 grand, which means it has to be money. And his spouse wasn't. She is a school teacher at a private school in Annapolis. She was allegedly serving just as a lookout. Like, hey, hun, I'm going to make sure no one is looking sketchy while you drop this sandwich or this gum or this Band-Aid wrapper. So my question for you guys is, I think I know the answer, but I want to ask you guys, why do you think it's still an unnamed foreign country? Why do you think no one is publicly reporting who the Tawebis thought they were interacting with?
They don't want to embarrass China and further those tensions.
That's right. There wasn't there a whole thing right now with nuclear subs in like Australia, I believe? Wasn't there like a big international kerfuffle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd tell you the whole thing, but the People's Republic has some compromat on me, so gotta keep it low key.
Okay, you gotta stay enough off Best Fiends, bro.
I know, dude.
Yeah, no, you are right.
I guess the point being is that it is a sensitive subject.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I believe you're referring to the recent falling out France had with the U.S. and Australia, because I think it was France was supposed to supply.
That's right.
Nuclear subs to Australia, and they went back on the deal. Yeah, my theory here is that Uncle Sam doesn't want this quote unquote unnamed foreign country to realize just how good they are at impersonating them, because that means that they also probably have a couple of other fingers in the counterintelligence pie. No, I don't know. Let's make it some different from a pie. Lasagna in the plate of lasagna, in the casserole of compromat. There we go.
Within the layers.
Yes. Yeah. They're down. They're down in the ricotta at this level. This is a cautionary tale. Being a successful spy is, one, not as cool as movies would have people believe. Two, it's also a lot more difficult than people would believe, especially if they're coming in as civilians. And there's a lot of ethical problems. We'll just take your word for it, Ben. Well, I think this is just obvious. We talked about James Bond before. I think it's obvious for everybody. But I also think this gives us an opportunity to talk more in depth in the future about spycraft, because it is an ongoing active nest of conspiracies. And when everything goes well, you don't hear anything about it. And even the most chaotic public incidences can be explained away as, say, like a drill to figure out how people might react to gas. So we're going to keep this short because we have a lot to say. A spy episode is going to be a two-parter. If you have an interest in hearing specific questions answered that are not of a personal nature, feel free to email or contact us in advance of that. 1-833-STD-WYTK. Send us a good old email at conspiracy@iheartradio.com. We're going to pause. We're going to take a ride from Baltimore to New York.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
And we're back. We're getting on the old MTA. We just use them because they're the company that controls the subway system in New York.
Subsidiary of the oldest house.
Oh, snap. Yes. Okay. So we're jumping to NBC New York. And this is a very short article, so we're going to read quite a bit here. Title is Feds to Deploy Non-Toxic Gas in New York City Transit Locations in Test of Biological Attack Readiness. Now, those of you listening at home don't realize that there's a secret project happening over here. Has a lot to do with exactly what this is talking about. We're going to share that with you at some point in the future. This is just a little hint that something is happening in the background that you are unaware of right now. I can't believe this test is occurring right now, guys, after what we've been researching. So we have discussed something like this in the past. In fact, I believe in 2016, we made mention of this. I think, maybe not though, Ben, because we didn't have an outlet like Strange News to make these kinds of like a miniature investigation into something. But I have a feeling we mentioned it, at least on social media. So let's jump to exactly what's happening. The MTA says that the Department of Homeland Security, working alongside a team of researchers and city agencies that Ben has some theories about, will deploy a non-toxic gas this month at about 120 locations across the city. Oh boy. Most of these locations will be above ground, according to NBC, some including parks. A number of below-ground subway stations will also be included. But apparently details are not available at this time as we record this on October 12th. The tests will be happening this week as you hear this, October 18th through the 29th. So they're at least beginning right now. There are going to be 5 days of testing across from the 18th to the 29th. And I'm not really sure when they will be occurring. I don't know that they know. It just depends on how long they need to allow some of these agents to kind of filter through the whole system and then capture all of that data. So, you know, in this article, it makes reference to strap hangers or straffingers. I'm not really sure what this is.
Strap hangers.
Have you guys heard this?
Yeah. The people on a trader bus, they've got who stand and hold on to, you know,
do the thing.
They call them the handles. Yeah.
That's right. There's even like there's even an organization devoted to advocating for public transit and for using public transit in New York called the Strap Hangers Campaign. But you're right, Matt. When you look at it as a word, it definitely appears to be Straffingers.
I like your pronunciation. It's classier.
I thought they completely misspelled strangers, and like somebody, an editor just completely missed it. And I was like, all right, well, Straffingers.
They're in a hurry because they're getting gassed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it says, yeah, anybody in the vicinity is going to be or could has the potential to be dosed with non-toxic agents of some sort. Again, the gas is non-toxic, according to the people spraying it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Is it visible?
Well, let's get into a little deeper and we'll talk about that, Noel. This is a quote, aerosol release of a biological agent in a densely populated urban environment. So it's a simulation of this event, right?
Yeah.
And so there it says the study will track movement of non-toxic material, and the results from these tests will be used to learn more about the relationship between airflow in street level and underground environments. This is important because they want to see what happens if something gets deployed above ground. Does it go down? If it gets deployed below ground, how does it affect up there?
Right.
Above. And they also want to look at it when using the subway system. Does it actually reach the outer boroughs, or does it stay right within Manhattan if it's deployed within Manhattan? And it's this thing. It's called the Urban Threat Dispersion Program. And you can read all about it. There was a test, in fact, in 2016 that I swear we talked about. You can go to DHS.gov. Good luck. Go there and you can search for environmental assessment of proposed tracer particle and gas releases. And here's where you can read all about it. They've got two PDFs that you can look at that are attached here. One of them, the one that I really focused on today, was the final environmental assessment of proposed tracer particle and gas releases. This is one of those things that, Ben, we lovingly discuss the language within these sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real purple prose there. Yeah, because of the way these things are written, they're written very, very carefully, and they're very much leaning on the technical side because they want folks to get the impression that this is very much fact-based, that this is transparent, that nobody is trying to hide anything. But as soon as you dig into the trenches of the plan, you can see how this could be very, very disturbing. I talked to quite a few folks in New York about this when you had hit me to it earlier, Matt, and the locals are understandably a little bit miffed. Not everyone forgot about things like Operation Large Area Coverage, Operation LAC, but a lot of people did. So for a lot of people who aren't aware of the U.S.'s extensive history doing very dangerous, unethical versions of this, this seems
with like, quote non-toxic chemicals with, quote, and agents at the time.
Mm-hmm, quote,
at least they were.
Right. and this, I have a theory. You guys know my theory.
Oh, do we, Ben?
I hope so. I texted you guys. I have a theory going back to the idea of a satanic panic and going back to the idea of spycraft and subterfuge. What if this is all a cover story for something else? Because there are experts who are going down into the bowels of New York subway system and they are being accompanied by armed police. So what if we don't really know what these folks are experts in? What if they're exorcists? What if there is an ancient evil beneath the streets of New York? Shout out Ghostbusters. And what
Ghostbusters if, 2 even.
Yes. And what if they are waging a secret battle to contain whatever dwells in the darkness beneath? I don't have a ton of proof, but I think it would be cool.
I like this theory.
They're actually just spraying incense and Palo Santo and
Sage, they're waving around Sage.
Yeah, smudging the subterranean worlds. Yeah, beneath the street. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in the idea of particle. What are they called? Tracer particles. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, you know, when you get like a stress test, you go to the doctor, they shoot you up or make you drink this like somewhat radioactive material. They can then track the way it moves through your body. I'm not a scientist, but I think that's kind of what tracer particles do. It's these trackable particles that are suspended within a gas or a liquid that can show the kind of like flow of that material. But what they are, I don't quite know. Like are they like some sort of radioactive isotope or what? Did you get a sense of that?
There's a list of them that you can find, and it has to do, it's interesting the way it's presented in the PDF, the paper. There are several options essentially that could be used.
We're thinking about
Yeah. And then they're whittling them down. They're saying we probably wouldn't use this DNA silica liquid mixture. We probably wouldn't use the visolite, whatever the F that is. It's a powder. They're looking at SF6 or perhaps PFTs, maybe some stamp. What the hell is that? Yeah. I don't know. They've write it all out here. And when you go through it, you can actually see. Sorry, my dog injured her toe. And she's got one of these giant cones on her head. And she's just rummaging around my room, just rubbing it on things accidentally and bumping into stuff. So I apologize if that's in the mix here.
No, that's great. That's great. I think all of our pets have made an appearance on the show at some point over the pandemic. You're right, though. They do have, again, the aim is to be transparent, right? So that they don't encourage speculation into the secret war between good and evil taking place beneath the Big Apple. So... This is stuff like, I'm not letting go of it. This is stuff like, you know, you mentioned SFs, that's sulfur hexafluoride. So people who are concerned about exposure to things that are like fluoride may not react super well to that kind of news. They might conflate it with something else, you know? But
isn't sulfur hexafluoride the stuff that makes your voice go really low?
Oh, is it? Is it?
I think so.
Oh, that's cool. It's like the opposite of helium.
Oh, man. I believe that's what it does.
I believe you are right. You are right, Matt.
Is that contained in nitrous oxide? Because I've always heard that that makes your voice kind of sound low.
Maybe that sulfur, it's just a very heavy gas, right? So it just goes
and high
the opposite of helium.
But high exposure to it is dangerous. You can get headaches, dizziness. You can even suffocate. In worst case scenarios, people can get seizures and go into comas. So there's a lot of time spent trying to figure out what the threshold is. Like, what is the minimum amount of this stuff we can use to reliably trace its pattern the way that some oceanographers traced currents in the Pacific Ocean with those rubber ducks. Remember that when that cargo ship went overboard?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah. So this is
with the Legos. Remember when the shipping container dumped Legos and they ended up on this one particular beach?
Exactly. And that's what they're attempting to do. And are they getting information that is important? Yes. Yes. If everything goes well, they are, because nobody wants a case of a biological agent release. Well, most of the people of New York, at least, don't want a biological agent released in the subway. And the subway is also very, very old. There's a water table problem. Like, they have to have these pumps running continually. New York City is a machine. And if something gums up the works, it's inevitably going to create a domino effect.
Totally.
Hey, you know what else is going to be in here? Potentially?
Yeah.
Perfluorocarbons?
Yes.
PFCs? Those are fine. Those are great. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Interesting stuff there. So, you guys, I want to read a tiny bit of this because I hear what you're saying, Ben. Like, it's all under this. It's not, I wouldn't say guise. Maybe it's a guise. I don't know. A guise of protecting. We just know that they've done this so many different times throughout the course of the years. It's almost like they just need to do an update to the data they've already collected or something. You know, we've updated the subway in certain ways. in other ways, it's very much the same, mostly with airflow and then new stations, I'm assuming, and a couple other variables that they want to test here. But I also know that they probably just got some budget that they need to spend, you know?
Right. Or it's an alternate event.
Yep.
Yep. Which will hopefully be a nice reference to a couple of our fellow conspiracy realists.
Ben, I love that you're going full weird with your theories today. It's been a good day.
Oh man, we have to. It's the time is now. You have to be the weird you want to see in the world. I don't think they're all, you know, necessarily Judeo-Christian exorcists. We don't know. We got to get down there.
Unclear.
There are people at the MTA who are probably rolling their eyes so hard at us right now. They're like, please stop scaring the public so we can do our weird experiments underground.
Exactly. Please just let us get on with it. I just want to read this. Just speaking of that language, and then we can get out of this. They say the goal of this program is to increase resilience against potential chemical or biological agent attacks by testing and evaluating detection technologies and mitigation or response strategies to reduce agent propagation in several locations within the New York City subway system. Ooh. That's a sentence. In order to evaluate the performance of both sensor technologies and response strategies, DHS and S&T proposes to disseminate safe stimulant or tracer materials that mimic key properties of biological and chemical agents of concern. Performance data would be gathered regarding the performance of newly installed sensors, e.g., example, maintenance costs, frequency of false alarms, and the probability and time to detect a potential threat after the testing events.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to read, easy to understand. Check it out, dhs.gov.
Check it out for a little bit of light reading. And then also, to be fair, of course, you can see in these reports that Matt cites the list of people who have prepared this, the list of what are called stakeholders, everybody involved. It's most of the folks you would expect, you know, transit for New Jersey and the MTA and law enforcement. But still, some people are going to be spooked, perhaps even more importantly, they're going to be inconvenienced, at least. A lot of people are forced to travel the subway despite having claustrophobia. So adding an extra variable in there just doesn't seem, I don't know. I understand why it's necessary, but also another side effect of this that they may not be aware of is that it is going to raise awareness of the past experiments that the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
gleefully participated in, knowing they would hurt people.
Well, we do think they knew. At least outward facing, they always say the same thing, right? These things are inert. These gases have there's no way these gases are going to hurt people. Everything's going to be fine. We're just testing.
Yeah, well, I see a lot of those experiments not happening in, like, Connecticut. I see a lot of them happening in historically disadvantaged populations. And that's what gives lie to some of those statements, again, of the past, decades past.
Yep. Ooh, more to come on that whole situation. I'm very excited about that. But for now, hey, do you have any information? Do you work for the MTA or another transportation group or company within New York City? Do you work for one of these organizations, maybe even the EPA, any of them, that are looking into how to successfully test these things without harming anyone? We'd love to hear what you have to say, if you can say anything.
Mm-hmm. And what's your position on two things? What's your position on spying? What would you like to hear about in the world of spying? What's your position on sandwiches? What's the best one? What's your favorite? I am tremendously interested to hear. Also, little positive note here, as Food and Wine notes in our Toebi story, the sandwich was not charged with any crime.
Oh, thank God. just a bystander.
But let us know all this and more. Again, we hope that you are having a wonderful October. We hope everybody is staying safe out there. We cannot wait to hear from you. And you yourself, specifically you, could end up on air with us. All you have to do is reach out to us online.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at the handle Conspiracy Stuff or Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram. You can also join our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. Run by the best mods in the online conspiracy Facebook group game.
And don't forget, wherever you are listening to this, on your pod chaser, catcher, whatever it is, the thing that has the podcasts and then you get to listen to them, give us a review on that platform, especially if it's on Apple Podcasts. You have no idea how much that helps our show. If you want to support us in any way, there's no real way to donate other than reviewing the show. So we would really, really, really appreciate that. Also, if you want to reach us by phone, we have a number.
That's correct. It's 1-833-STDWYTK. 3 minutes. Those 3 minutes are yours. Give yourself an awesome name. Give yourself a moniker, an alias. Let us know if we can use your voice and or message on air. Tell us what's on your mind. Most importantly, don't censor yourself. Don't feel like you have to edit yourself. If your story deserves more than 3 minutes, then send us an email. Give us the links. Give us the background supplemental information. Got a weird picture of something in the woods? This is the way to send it to our good old-fashioned email address where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.